Blog Talk Radio.
They tryna turn Trenton into baby Flint. Wow. Been times by depression on the billboards ever since. 100 years ago we was lynched. Now they use germ warfare to kill us. I'm convinced, got the evidence. I look around and it's evident. They go down to City Hall and see so much negligence. Real art is intelligent. A true artist sends messages that speak to your intelligence. They fall and die so I can do my thing. Not to get drunk and high or join no gang. I will not let none of you die in vain. For my people I bang, bang, bang.
My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. I rep for you in everything I do. I rep for you in every place I go. I rep for you in everything I do. In every place I go.
They say post-traumatic slavery disorder's fake, but I just tell them all to wake up. Everything we went through, what a weight and a rape, bruh. It's in our genetic makeup. So I am my ancestors. From block to block, let's build like it's Tetris. We must unite, link up like a necklace. They fought and died and we disrespected. So I come to correct it. The legacy they left, I protected. We only think about self and neglected. You're African, but yet you rejected.
No. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain.
I rep for you in everything I do. I rep for you in every place I go. I rep for you in everything I do. In every place I go.
I go.
Welcome back. Welcome back to another edition of New Freedom Exchange, a cultural expression for social dignity and community empowerment, hosted by your dear brother, myself, Brother Dean. I'm also here with my two co-hosts.
Okay, it's two of us today. Sister Marsha's here. Assalamualaikum, everyone.
Well, welcome up.
Here.
My brother.
Oh, but
okay, there you go.
How y'all feeling
I'm
today?
Good, love it.
How y'all
love?
Feeling,
I'm feeling good.
Good.
Feeling good, man. I'm feeling good, beloved. Can't complain. It's hot outside. You know, it's nice, but it's too hot. A little too hot for me.
Yeah, definitely hot out there. Definitely hot out there. But you know what? Today was a really relaxing, kind of calm day for me. You know, I'm usually like hectic with work and writing all day and all that kind of stuff, and it was kind of really chill today, so alhamdulillah for that. How you doing, Dean?
I'm doing good, maintaining. You know, I stay pretty cool because I'm always inside or driving, so fortunately I don't get the heat bait.
right.
Yeah. So, but we're going to have some try not to have too much heated discussion, but relationship is definitely a heated discussion nowadays. Everything that's going on.
It can be.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna just give us our outline that I set up, and then we could jump right into it. And then if you call us, come on, or if anybody's listening to us on internet, we know a lot of people listen to us on internet, but we love to hear from you as well. So if you're listening to us on internet, you can use the Skype button and press 1. That'll bring you in. Or you can call the guest line, which is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. I'm trying not to get too enticing to put out this broadcast and just put # entanglement, because that might get a whole lot of people.
Should have just hit that, man. Get it juicy, man.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all ready. If y'all ready for it, I'll do it. But if you're not ready for it, I don't want to get up.
Ready or not.
You know what I mean?
Ready or not. Ready or not.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It might get heavy.
It might get heavy, but we got solutions to pull us through. And that's the beautiful thing. No matter how we do it, we come heavy or light, as my dear brother mm-hmm. Bilal is hitting to. But I'm going to set it up. I'm going to send it out. I'm going to put what is entanglement, what is relationships, and see what kind of last-minute reaction we get. But just for what we already
Uh-oh.
Had lined up, yeah, right. We're actually talking today about building healthy relationships. And
right.
every relationship is unique, and people come together for many different reasons. Part of what defines a healthy relationship is sharing a common goal for exactly what you want the relationship to be and where you want it to go. And that's something you all mm-hmm. only know by talking deeply and honestly with your partner. And we want to focus on these four because there are many types of relationships. But this episode, we want to primarily focus on four types of relationships: as family relationship, friendship, acquaintanceship, and marital relationship. And we know through every relationship, as people of faith and people of consciousness and scripture, God is in all of our relationships. So sometimes we know we get off track and we deviate, or we get in too deep with some relationships and we kind of get away from what God wants us to do. But nonetheless, as people of faith, we still hold on knowing that God is ever present. What do y'all think about that?
Right. No, I think you're spot on with that. And I'm glad that you highlighted the fact that, you know, Allah, God is in all of our relationships. I definitely think we lose sight of that. And we tend to focus on the fact that some relationships, let me put it like this. I feel like in terms of marital relationships, we look at that as something to be worked on. But we don't necessarily always look at family relationships, friendships, or even you as an acquaintance with somebody as something that needs to be worked on, something that you may need to improve, whether it's that you approach them aggressively or you know, there's somewhere that you can make a change in how you're interacting with people. We don't necessarily look at those relationships as having to do the work.
Okay. How about you, Bilal?
Well, I think that, like you said, like we're all saying here, I just want to echo the fact of importance that there's a lot upon what Ayla, you know, needs to be at the forefront when we entered our relationship. Relationships broadly, in the broad sense, you know, friendships, our family relationships, our family affairs. And also when we get into, when we start talking about marriage, you know, something saying, I think it's quite critical that we put the Creator first, you know, because he knows the plan, he has the plan. Because we plan, you know, we lay out a plan. We want, you know, we have a particular goal that we might want to achieve. But a lot in the slash the Creator, you know, he knows what, he knows the end goal. What's going to be the end? What's going to be the end result? You know, how are we going to get there? You know what I'm saying? And he's going to guide us along that path. So when we see that things don't work out in our relationship and our friendship, and sometimes when we get into marital affairs, you know, we have to really ask Allah for his help and guidance. You know what I'm saying? Because that is what it's there for. You know what I'm saying? If we don't utilize the main source, then, you know, we're going to be operating on the world's time and what the world and this dead society slash culture, this dead culture is dictating us to get into. Mm.
Yeah, so let's talk about that because that's really the challenge, right? So like you said, if there's mm-hmm. a focal point on all relationships as being
right.
Equally accessed to what everyone as the Creator, as mm-hmm. the standard, and what he established mm-hmm. as what we need to regard, right. what right. is that influence that comes in, and how do we safeguard ourselves?
I think the influence can be so many things. I definitely think mm-hmm. Society plays a big role. Your upbringing, you know, for those who, like for me, for instance, I didn't grow up Muslim, so a lot of mm-hmm. the values that are in Islam, some of them, you know, were naturally things that I was taught, but others, you know, they just weren't, you know. And so it could be how you were raised. It could be where you live and who you're around and what's acceptable. I think definitely for young people, that plays a big part. And maybe for not so young people too, right? So, you know, that whole I'm from the hood type thing, and these are the sets of rules that go with being from the hood and how you deal with people because you're from this environment. And you know, I'm not going to let anybody punk me, so I got to relate to you like this because I can't be seen in a certain light. So it definitely could be many influences, but I would say the two big ones are how you were raised and where you grew up.
Excellent. Allow any caveat to that, because as I think about what Sister Marsha just said, she said it so well, that, like, the upbringing is very key, right? Because you could, even if you're Muslim or, like you're saying, or not Muslim, I mean, even Muslims have different environments depending on where they, where you know, you know, what family they're in or what understanding of al-Islam
That's
they
true.
Have, you know. So even that, you know, so you're right, those two are definitely related.
Well, I you know, it's the environment that we beloved can dictate, you know, the thought processes, you know, thinking, you know, how you think, how you perceive a relationship, how you perceive a friendship, how you perceive, you know, dad, mom, dad role, you know, something, you know, and perceive all this, you know, and it starts at home, and then it trickles down. But and when you home is an institution. Family life is a sacred institution, you know.
Right.
But then it's institutions. We're forgetting that as of age, you start to send your kids to school. That's an institution. So what are they seeing in school? What are they hearing from their peers? And some are saying, you know, what are their teachers actually do? And the other adults at the school. You know, some are saying, and then that's an institution. And then we keep going on listing all the institutions that exist, you know. And we can't forget culture and how that dictates also our thought processes and eventually how we act, you know, in these relationships.
Right.
Excellent.
Yeah, that even makes think about too. And I know we'll probably sort of break each relationship down, but
sure.
You know, as you were talking, I was sitting here thinking about, and I guess this could be any of the four relationships you mentioned. Well, maybe not acquaintanceships, but definitely with family, friendships, and then marital relationships, we have this concept of, you know, how we relate to people. What was running through my mind was, like, you know, being the type of friend, because Bilal mentioned a little bit, like, it depends on, you know, whatever we were raised with dictates what type of friend we might be. And so I'm like, well, you know, what about that concept of being the friend who's like, I'll ride with you no matter what, right? Those are the types of things that come to my mind when I think about, well, dang, what kind of friend am I to people? And for whatever reason, that came up for me, and it was just like, okay, but what about when that concept of riding with my friend no matter what brushes up against the fact that no matter what may be contrary to al-Islam or contrary to being just a good human being, you know? So those are those checkpoints that we come up against that make us sort of question, you know, let me think about my relationships and how I function in them. One big thing for me, just in general, you know, that I work on and I feel like I've done a lot of work on and I feel good about where I am with it right now, is being able to be authentic in any of my relationships. And for me, that took work, right? Because I was always a people pleaser, right? So I was the person who, you know, you need this? Yes. And I'm still that to an extent. Like, I always want to help people. But I had to get to a point of being able to be authentic and being like, you know what, that's too much for me. I can't do that. You know, sorry to let you down, but I can't. Or I don't want to do this, or I'm not going to do this because it brushes up, it crosses the line, or it teeters the line with my belief system. So I think authenticity is a real big thing in our relationships as well, because you know, you could be in a relationship with somebody for years, friendship, family, marital, whatever it is, and have that relationship be so on the surface and fake because no one's being real.
Excellent, excellent. So we've covered at least five or six interests that affect relationships, healthy relationships, in those four categories that we laid out. So we're going to actually go into that. I sent each of my co-hosts an article that we're going to go over. I'll start out, if you all see it in our message board, if you could pull that up, I'll start it off with friendship.
Okay.
Then he can do the next one, friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, first one is family, then friendship, and then Marcia could do acquaintanceship. And if we have time left,
okay,
we'll jump into the marriage piece. But so far, what
okay.
we covered, we talked about the effect of how our upbringing affects our relationships, how our consciousness of the Creator and those standards that He provides for us, that He clocked in us, right? Listening to that inner piece, as well as a revelation that we come to learn. Also, the environment, institutions, as Bilal mentioned, that realizing that marriage and other relationships are actually institutions within themselves. And then the last point Sister Marcia just gave us, authenticity, is very, very important. Alhamdulillah. So we do a station identification quickly. This is a New Freedom Exchange on station IWDM on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today we're talking about building healthy relationships. I'm here with my co-host, Brother Bilal, and Sister Marcia, and I'm Brother Dean. We're also celebrating in conjunction with the so-called Minority Mental Health Month. We have branded it as the Healthy New Thinking Month or series, and we've been, for the last week, we had a beautiful show. You can check that out at New Freedom Exchange on Facebook. We're also on Instagram and on YouTube. So check out
YouTube.
Our previous, absolutely, YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So check out our platform over there, and looking forward to some upcoming more programming. We're also going to announce at the end of the program the latest information on our daily digital, and we'll tell you more about that. But we want to jump right into this one. I'm going to give the introduction, then we'll go right into family relationship, have a brief reflection, and then move on to the next category. So, as we mentioned, there are different types of relationships. An interpersonal relationship refers to the association, connection, interaction, and bond between two or more people. There are many different types of relationship. As we're going through this, we're going to focus primarily on four types of relationship. Again, that's family relationships, friendships, acquaintanceships, and they say romantic. We say marriage. We know that in our faith tradition, the romantic or the physical intercourse and courting and all that, that's all steps in marriage. Whether you do it legally or witnesses in the traditional way, nonetheless, you're marrying your spirit, you're marrying your body. So whether you have a paper to represent that or not, or witnesses to represent that or not, that's what's going on. That's our perspective. Okay, so family relationships. All right. Our family or relatives are people we are connected to through some kind of kinship, whether it is through blood, such as with parents, brothers, sisters, whether it's through marriage, such as non-blood aunts and uncles or step-parents, and then marital relationships, such as parents who have husbands or wives, or by way of adoption. Family includes siblings and parents who you may see every day growing up, and other relatives such as cousins, aunts, uncles, and grandparents who you may not see, quote, quite so often. Family comes in many different forms, for example, single-parent families, step-parent families, and there are other alternative ways that are challenging our society that we don't really give too much attention to, but we do recognize that people are seeing things that are not normally the traditional and the natural way. And that's also something that challenges society. Ideally, people should have strong relationships with their families, although these does not always happen, obviously. They should feel love and closeness for their relatives and be able to confide in them and discuss personal things. A key role of parents and older relatives is to offer guidance, support, and where needed, boundaries and discipline. As families are so close and spend so much time together, arguments and disagreements can arise, but in most families, these are short-lived, and even in moments of anger or hurt, families still love and care about each other. Family relationships are ideally lifelong, although as children become teenagers and then adults, it is usual for them to have more independence and for the parental relationship to become less one of guidance and more one of mutual support. Sometimes as children become teenagers and adults, there can be an increase in arguments and conflicts with parents as the growing child tries to assert their independence and find their adult identity. Very key. This is perfectly normal and often calms down once the teenage years have passed. It is important to have strong communication with family members, as if a healthy relationship is nurtured, a family can be a lifelong source of support. The bond with family can play a very important role in personal well-being and the ability to form other kinds of relationships outside of the family unit, such as friendships and marital relationships. In some families, there's little physical contact, whereas in others, it is common for family members to express affection by means such as hugging, kissing on the cheek or forehead, patting the head or tousling the hair, patting on the back, etc. It is common for babies and younger children to be carried or held. So just reading that brief description of the importance of the family bond, the family relationship, one thing jumped out at me. A verse from the Quran came to mind, 66 and 6, Surah 66 and 6. And this is often shared, especially in the Friday prayers as a reminder for us. And it basically reads, O you who believe, or O you who have faith, protect yourselves and your families from the fire. So that's Surah 6, verse 6. So that's my portion, and I really like how they succinct it. They had a little few things in there that, you know, we had to adjust according to our principles. I know y'all caught it.
We caught it, beloved. I mean, like, what's up with that?
Yeah, you went right around that real well.
So if there's any questions or comments, we can go on to the next one.
You know what? I do have a question, right? So what do we do? And I guess I'll say as Muslims, right, because we've been talking about the fact that, you know, Islam has its own subset of rules as to how we are to be in relationship with others. Like, what do we do when those relationships, those family relationships are strained? Like, what would be the advice for those strained relationships?
Good point. From my perspective, as you know, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then, you know, like you said, according to your upbringing, right, according to how serious your commitment is to see it as an institution, according to how authentic you are, and according to the environment, right, could also alter how you apply it, right? But we can say principally as Muslims or people of faith, right, even like you said, Christians and others who have who believe in a higher power, a higher ethics,
right,
more than what, you know, men succumb to in different cultures, we can at least first try to find the answer in Scripture, find the answer in the models of the messengers, and then find those good examples in our association, those Muslims or those faith groups or those interfaith groups. And then also, I guess, as Abdullah, he's been very adamant about this, sometimes you just got to seek professional help. Sometimes you got to seek those who really study the nature of people and families and society because sometimes you might need a professional to pull
right.
you through the strain. Yeah. Bilal, what you think?
No. Well, I think that again, it's crucial that when we're dealing with relative family relatives, blood relatives, that we keep in mind that of what Allah says about cherishing our family ties, and I know probably for quite a few people listening, we all can relate to having trouble and difficulties with family members as far as mental health, as far as perhaps sexuality. You know, these things all matter because, you know, at the end of the day, we may see these relatives on a daily basis, or we may see them at, you know, once in the blue moon at the family cookout, you know what I'm saying,
right.
or the family retreat, you know what I'm saying. So then the question still becomes, how do you deal with seeing people on a once in a blue moon basis versus a consistent basis? It's a little bit different because depending on the relationship that you have with that person, it could be distant. You know. Unfortunately,
right.
you know, so, unfortunately, some of us, including myself, I have blood relatives that, you know, unfortunately at this time, you know, I have to distance myself. You know, so I'm saying, you know, I still love them, but I have distance myself from certain from certain mentalities. Yeah, we all complete for certain mentalities. A lot of negative energy, not a negative vibe. Mental health. There's some mental health issues that no one wants to address. Nobody wants to come up front and be forward with. And then, you know, there are some things that, you know, as Muslims that we can't really indulge in. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
if you're having parties with a whole bunch of alcohol and marijuana and stuff like that, we can't really indulge in it. Not saying we can't
right.
come to go to the gatherings, but, you know, you kind of feel ostracized as being the only Muslim in the family. You don't even get an invite sometimes, you know, to these gatherings. Because people know
mm-hmm.
that you don't indulge in those things. So
right.
that kind of makes you feel bad that you're not even being invited to the party. You know what I'm saying? You don't even have an invitation. So, but the most important thing, is, out of what I'm saying, bottom line is, you know, you respect your blood ties, but immediately, what the Quran does say, and what is very important, that the parents can't stress it enough, your mother and your father.
Right.
If they're Christian, if they're Jewish, if they're Buddhist, doesn't matter. You
know
what I'm saying? You have to hold them in a high regard. Now, as far as your uncles and grandparents, nieces and cousins, I mean, not saying you don't disrespect them, but we have obligation to, even more important obligation to respect our parents. You know what I'm
right.
saying? It's important to cherish those family ties as well, you know, and make sure those are, you know, you keep in good ties, you're helping them as they age, you know what I'm saying? You know, because, you know, they nurtured you when you were young, and you weren't able to walk. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's my spin on that.
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, as you are both talking, I'm sitting here and I'm just like, you know what? I got some work to do because I definitely got some struggles.
No, yeah, but yeah, definitely.
I mean, and we just gonna keep it all the way real. On this
yeah.
Show today, there are definitely and you know what? So I'm the type of person where I'm so cool with everyone until, you know, there's a moment where I'm just like, oh, okay, that doesn't really work for me. Let me just kind of go over
right.
here. And for the most part, I have great family relationships. There is one that's really strange, and it's just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and exit left because I'm trying to always become this better Marsha every day, and I'm afraid for the old one to slip out and dealing with this person. But I just say that to say that we're all a work in progress. These are relationships to be worked on is my
right.
main point.
No.
And something that I started out saying, you know, it's not just the spousal relationship that's something to be worked on.
Yeah.
It's all of the relationships.
All the relationships, because this before we get into the bring on bring on the next component here, Mujahideen. I just want to say that we have to be also patient with our relatives, patient mm-hmm. with each other, and whatever happens in our families and friendships, and also marriages, marital affairs trickle down into the community. So just because mm-hmm. that on a larger scale, so if we're having problems with our families, you know, something that some of those things trickle down to the community, to the Jamaat.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You have a lot of people having problems with their marriages, with their divorces, and friends are getting along and eating the flesh of their own brothers and sisters, and all these different things. They compound into the bigger problem into the Ummah. So you know, to put that out there, that you know, when we address these issues on a macro. On a micro level, we're actually addressing them too on a macro level.
Good point.
Okay, well, friends is up next. So, did you get it, Bilal?
Yes, I did. I did. So, yeah. Let me read friendship. Friendship, okay. Hold on. Friends are people who we are not related to but choose to interact with. Friends are people we trust, respect, care about, and feel that we can confide in and want to spend time with. A good friendship should be built on honesty, support, and loyalty. A friendship is a reciprocal relationship. For it to exist, both people must see each other as a friend. There are varying degrees of friendship. You may find that you feel closer to some friends than others. This is perfectly normal. Some friends, especially if they have only been known for a short time or are not seen very often, may not be appropriate to confide in about personal issues or concerns. You may find that you feel more comfortable and able to confide in friends you have known for longer or spend more time with. Friends who are very close and know each other well are sometimes referred to as best friends. Some people have many friends, while others may only have one or two. There's no right or wrong number of friends to have, and everyone is different. Good friendships are mutually respectful and supportive and share common interests and ideals. While some friendships can be close and some friends choose to greet each other by hugging or kissing on the cheek, other friendships may have no physical contact or may simply just shake hands. Physically intimate or romantic contact is not appropriate in friendship.
So I think, you know, in hearing you read that, for me, you know, I think that's probably one of the easier relationships to manage. And I know for people, it varies.
Mm-hmm.
But from my perspective, mm-hmm. I feel like that's one of the easier ones to manage, right? Because as it started off, when you first started reading it, you know,
mm-hmm.
we make a choice with the friendship, whereas with
mm-hmm.
the family, you don't choose your family, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with
mm-hmm.
the friendship, you make a choice, and we're usually choosing someone who's like-minded, with the same interests, with the same values, someone we feel comfortable around, so that it feels like a lot less work to do to maintain that.
Yeah, I think that let me tag team here, because this is a juicy one, actually. In my opinion, this is a juicy one. You know, especially the line that says a friendship is a reciprocal relationship. You know, that's key, man. You know, I mean, that term, you know, goes for all. You know, sometimes it goes for the marriage too. You know, reciprocate the love. You know, reciprocate the intimacy. You know, so even the family too, reciprocate the love. Reciprocate, you know, the respect. So the reciprocity of, you know, it's a word that, you know, it's important that we put that, highlight that. But I want to highlight this because I think that the next paragraph, you know, goes into acquaintances. So I want to have this French down because it's key, because the Prophet prayer and blessings be upon him, you know, Prophet Muhammad, you know, he had companions. You know, those were people that he confided in, you know, too. Not
mm-hmm.
just that he taught, you know, that they just didn't come to just listen to him, you know, something, you know, give the Quran, and talk about the Quran. Also, they came to the Prophet for counsel. You know, some are saying for consultation, you know, on matters that were very personal sometimes, very personal. You know, some are saying, and also, you know, the prophet also confided in his wife, but also was his friend when he received, first received the revelation. You know, some are saying he confided in her as a friend and slash a wife, you know, so at the same time. You know, some are saying, so when we look at friendship, this is key about who you hang around with, also influence you how you talk and how you deal with people and how you think. So if you're hanging around a crew that is all messed up, you know, and they're doing X, Y, and Z that goes against your principles, and you know you have principles that you're supposed to be following, you know, you have some guiding principles, some morals, you know what I'm saying, then it's not going to work out. Those are not friends. Friends tell you, pull you to the side and tell you when you're going wrong. Friends have no problem doing that. In my opinion, a true friend does that. When you are going astray in the deen or going astray just maybe in just in general, just in life in general, a good friend who knows you very well, you know, somebody say, will tell you, listen, I don't think you should be doing that. You know, maybe, you know, we should reconsider, you know, somebody saying, and actually pull your coat because, you know, that's a friend, you know. And I just want to be clear, you know, that our friend, we have to keep good company. You know, we have to keep good company. In Islam, that's the principle too, in the Sunnah, keeping good company. You know, what I'm saying, and you know, so I just want to put that caveat off.
Yeah, you know what? Friendships evolve, right? So I think the people who I was really close with in high school, right? You know, when I was in high school, there were five of us who hung out. We called ourselves the Fab Five. You know, that was the group. You know, we were all tight. And even
you
within
called
that
what?
Group,
what y'all call yourself?
We were the Fab Five. I'm gonna get a picture out the yearbook and share it with y'all.
We were the Fab Five,
and even within that group, there were like some of us who were a lot closer than others. As a group, we all sort of considered ourselves this big connected group to the point where we were selected, like in the yearbook, as like the, I forgot what they called it, like we were the group of friends that wound up being recognized in the yearbook. Mm-hmm. But even within that group of friends, we had little subsets of us who were closer than others. And I think back, I'm thinking today to back then, which seems like so many moons ago for me, but, you know, a lot of those people, a lot of them would be acquaintances for me now, not necessarily.
Oh, let's talk
friends.
About that.
Wee. Yeah, because I just feel like, you know, it evolves. Your life changes.
That's
I know
story.
For me, my friends, I was the first one to be married, to have children. My life was very different, even for my best friend at the time. You know, we're still good friends now. I wouldn't consider her my best friend now, but my life changed in a way that there were things that I had to be responsible for that she didn't have to be. And so the friendship just evolved just off the strength of, you know, I was a wife and mother. And able to chill and do whatever she wanted to do. So it's important to note that, you know, friendships evolve and you don't necessarily finish off with the ones you started off with. My best friend now actually is a friend that I've had since the third grade. But through the years, we weren't always as close as, like I said, in high school, I had someone else who I considered my best friend. But it reverted back to my friend who I had been friends with since third grade, you know, but it could have very well turned out differently where that relationship evolved and, you know, kind of dwindled and fizzed off.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, you know, I have stories about that, you know, I have stories of friends, especially specifically from high school and college, into something that, you know, we, you know, going to a small high school, Khalil Muhammad School, you know, it was relatively small, man. You know, it's a relatively small population. Everybody knew each other. I mean, come on. Like, you know, so this is Claire Muhammad, man. It's not no public school with 200, 300, 500 kids, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So cutting it short, I mean, you know, the same people I went to school with, you know, I don't even talk to them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's only maybe one. One is one of my best friends. That's it.
Right.
Out of all my peers, even from my graduating class, I don't even talk to them. I don't.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's just, and when time comes to communicate and, like, there was efforts that, you know, I put forth to try to bring us all together and try to do a class reunion or just try to hang out, you know, go to the movies or something together as a group, all the people do is just leave me on read. You know, on the, you know, Facebook Messenger, you can see someone read the message and leave me on read. I'm like, You know, what's going on, man? Like, I don't understand. I don't get it. And it's just like,
right.
You know what happened too after that experience? A lot of people started to show their true colors. Like Claire Muhammad or the school setting was just a mask. You know, it was just a mask.
Right.
It was just something like, you know, we all was in class, but really everyone was going through stuff. Everybody was going through some real situations at home or in the street. So it's like, you know, after that it kind of dissolved because everybody either moved and got married, which I'm happy for. Some of the brothers and sisters got married. But it's like, you know, I understand that, you know, once you get married, you have a different level of responsibility. I understand that. But, like, not to call, not to text. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just left me in a very distraught state. And it's like knowing that we were so close and everybody was going to the same classes and stuff like that. So, and the same thing happened in college, you know. Going to a bigger college than Claire Muhammad, you know, all the people that I knew, you know, some thing, you know, we don't even have contact. You know, it's just like, you know, we see each other maybe at homecoming or like, you know, or, you know, and maybe at a gathering here in New York, but it's like, you know, that's it, man. It was really nothing else.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's very interesting, man. It's very interesting. So I just wanted to throw that in there, you know. So.
Yeah. I think too, who's social and who's not, because I definitely think I'm one of those funny acting ones. It's like we really gotta hang out. I'll be the first one to admit it. Like, Bilal, yeah, I read it, but yeah.
She left you on read.
But Marcia, that's okay. But Marcia, let's be realistic. Everybody, I mean, I understand that type of, I understand the introverted, extrovert kind of stuff. I understand that
from
that perspective. You know, I consider myself a little bit of both, mixture of both. But I'm more extroverted, you know, so I lean towards more of that. So, like, you know, but that's not everybody, though. So, like, you may have left me on read, but everyone else, I know they're not introverted. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, for them cats, nah, man. No.
They ain't getting away with it. Well, we'll move on to acquaintances. Let's move on to acquaintances.
Before we move on, I did find a quick article. I did want to drop this article in because
go ahead.
As you all were actually going through the different types of friends, I actually found an article that references, that identifies different types of friends mentioned in the Quran, and so I'm just gonna say them and give the reference. We won't have to go over all the ayat. Those who, you know, follow up, listen to later, they can get and look them up. But I just want to read this first. This is by Ustad Nauman Ali Khan. The Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him, said, "A person," and I think Bilal actually referenced this. "A person depends on their religion of their friends. So watch out each of you whom you make a friend." And then there were five, six, seven, eight, nine. You might have to do a part two on this one. I'll give a
what is that? What is that? Read one. What is that? Are those characteristics? What are you about to read? What is it?
I'm about to drop it in the chat, but we could take the time and finish out the show with this, and then maybe do a part two next week if you guys want to. I mean, we are in mental, healthy new thinking month.
Healthy new thinking.
So
you know.
Helping new thinking. Uh-oh. So we could take the time to go over these, because these are very important. I really appreciate what you said, Marsha, about how this is actually the one that you have the most control, but it seemed like for most people they lose the control because they confuse based upon those other friendships or those other relationships, and they become manipulated by the friendships rather than empowered by friendships. So I think we could take the time and go over them. I mean, these are very thorough, actually, in some respects. Well, let's go over the first one, and if you guys want to keep, we can keep it going. Kareem is mentioned in Surah 37, verse 51 to 56, where it's an illustration that Allah revealed. And it says, a speaker of them will say, verily I had a Kareem, a companion, who used to say, are you among those who bear witness to the truth, that when we die and become dust and bones, shall we indeed be raised up to receive reward and punishment according to our deeds? Then the speaker said, will you look down? So he looked down and saw him in the midst of the fire. He said, by Allah, you have nearly ruined me. So this is the type of friend with whom you have a lot in common and spend most of the time with. He emails or texts you when there's a game or a party in some club, and then later you realize they are unpleasing to Allah and you don't want to do such things anymore. Your Kareem, in this term, the Quranic term, makes the call and asks you to join him for some drinks, and you refuse. No. Or just a nah, not this time. And they make fun of you and say, all of a sudden you are righteous. I know how you are. It just last month or two months ago, how you were. So then you're in Jannah and you remember this moment, and the Kareem who is by now in hell, and you have new friends in Jannah and want to see this Kareem, and the guy is burning in hell. So you say, I swear by Allah, you almost made me trip into the hellfire. I was almost destroyed. And Allah helped you onto the right path by just saying no. So the Kareem could be bad, but when they become bad, you should be Sadiq, which is another term for friend, but not more of a Kareem, too. Okay, so we actually addressed this, you know, and you all, I think we were talking about this in family, but this is also relevant in friendship.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. I've had friends who text me the same matters, man, who text me on the same tip, man. Real life, real time.
Right.
Real life. Ox. I'm talking about Ox, man. You know, some text me talking about you wanna go to this record album release party, we're gonna spin the bottle, we're gonna dance around the bottle. I'm like, what the heck you mean about dance ball? We just finished watching this beloved's body at the we're getting ready for the janazah, man. You talking
right.
about you wanna spin
that?
The bottles? What are you talking about, man? So that's called friction. You see, when I stood up and said that, and I looked at the dudes like that, dudes looked at me like I was crazy. And I remember one time, one more quick story. I'm going to be real short with this one. I remember one time, it was the same ox, right? And dudes used to smoke marijuana. So one time, I was in the car, and they rolling up the marijuana. And so I try to fight the dude and try to snatch the bag of marijuana from him. You know what I'm saying? So we get into a little scuffle. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then I forgot we were supposed to make Asr. We were supposed to go to the master to make Asr. Tell me how. We all walk to the corner. You know what I'm saying? To this lady's house, the private house in the back of her house, and these brothers stop smoking. You know what I'm saying? Right back to someone's house, man. I'm like, dude, like, nobody saying nothing? I'm like, I'm looking at my older guy, who's a lookout boy, just in case the lady calls the popo on us. I said, yo, you not going to say nothing? Dude, they're just smoking right here, man. Come on. So, and I was, I'm the young sprout. These dudes are older than me. So I'm thinking, these dudes are supposed to know better. So that's kind of, so I'm just giving that narrative because I've been there, done that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that kind of sowed the discord, if you would, when, it was unnecessary. I wasn't trying to sow discord. I was just saying, well, I don't think we should be doing this right now because this is not what we're supposed to be doing. That. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, I relate to this one right here, this Kareem. I relate to that one.
Mm.
You know, I relate to that one.
Yeah, well, let's finish this one out because we almost come up to the hour. And then we can do a part two, and we'll start off next week. Marsha will start off with the acquaintances.
Acquaintances,
yeah. So the next one here is Rafiq. Oh, no, excuse me, Kazul.
No,
Kazul.
You can skip it. Kazul, what's that, Kazul? That's Kazul, right?
Kazul. You know, they speak with the accent, so they put the Z, but it's the medium sound TH, so it's Kazul.
Okay, Kazul.
Kazul. Kazul, and this ayat reference is Surah 25, ayat 29, Al-Furqan, where it says, "He did lead me astray from the message of Allah after it had come to me. Ah, the evil one is but a Kazul, a traitor to mankind." So this type of friend is one who shows loyalty until you really need them or rely on them, then the true colors show. You think that they are sincere, but they are actually using you. A Kazul to a human being is shaitan. He presents such kind of character. His whispers are just a way to get accomplices in hellfire and thus becomes a Kazul. He offers you an immediate pleasure, like texting someone to do Zina or go to some party, as Bilal just mentioned, and get some, you know, some green. It most likely happens to us at this young age, the age where it's easier to lose your humanity, not iman, but humanity. At convenient times, he remains with you, but when you are in trouble, that kind of friend disappears. We should be very careful falling into shaitan's net, and that is the Kazul.
Wow. So, you know, so for me, I think I'm super keen on people like this, which is why I try to keep my circle real small. I'm usually able to sniff out the fake because I can't, like, I have very little patience for those people. For whatever reason, I got that, like, that hound nose where I'm able to sniff these people out. Like, all right, you need to back up because I, you know, this is real fake, and I don't do that too well. But a lot of people, you know, and you know what? I'm also the type of person that I'm super sincere in my relationships with people. So sometimes it's even hard for me to consider that people are like that, you know.
Yeah,
and I know for me,
Marcia,
that's like a naivete. That's the naivete that I have because you know it's very hard for me to imagine that you would spend your efforts to you know do things for the sake of getting what you want and then being gone. Like, I don't have time for that thing, so in my mind, other people don't either, but I know that that's not reality.
Right. Gosh, man, this is heavy, man. This is heavy. I could relate to Marsha on that, you know, that part that she said that, you know, I mean, you know, she invests. I think what, you know, I tend to invest a lot into my relationships, friendships. You see what I'm saying? So when you invest so much and people come up like this, like they turn into what? The Kazul?
They turn into Kazul.
I'm like, I don't know how to take that out because it's like, you know,
right.
I'm like,
what just happened?
What just happened? Like how, like 2 seconds ago, we was all like, you know, laughing and we dapping each other up and stuff like that. And, you know, we play together, we break fast, have iftar together, all that. We travel together too. We you know what I mean? So it's not like we did business together. So now you're talking about doing this, backstabbing me, or trying to steal money from me, or try to, you know, do all this other flim-flam stuff, man. It hurt, man. That I think those relationships, friendships, hurt the most. You see what I'm saying? In my opinion, especially if it's somebody that you know and you were close with and they do not see you, man, that hurts, man. That hurts, man.
Yeah.
Shall we carry on?
Go for it.
All right. Next one is Rafiq. Was that in the movie Rafiki? So one of the movies, Rafiq. Okay, this Quranic reference is Surah 4, verse 69, where Allah says, "All who obey Allah and the Messenger are in the company of those on whom is the grace of Allah, of the prophets who teach, the sincere lovers of truth, the witnesses who testify, and the righteous who do good." Oh, what a Rafiq, a beautiful Rafiq, a beautiful fellowship. So Rafiq, it comes from the name Mirfaq. Mirfaq, a pillow you rest on when you're tired. A friend with whom you feel relaxed and get comfort in their company. A Rafiq is a friend you can rely on, turn to when you are in the hour of need, and offers actual comfort to you when in need. Who is a Rafiq? Allah says, whoever used to obey Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon him, those are from those to whom Allah showers His favors upon, meaning the prophets, the confirmers of truth, the shuhada, bear witness with their speech to the truth. They live al-Islam and are not afraid to show. The salihin, those who do good things. And these are all rafiq. In the end, we shall find such a friend who is a rafiq.
Hmm.
I'm glad to know I know some rafiqs in my company.
Me too, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too, some rafiqs, man. Got to have a couple of rafiqs in your company, you know.
It's also good to know that you can be rafiq to someone too, right? Because you know, you can think about it as to, oh, it's, you know, I'm glad to know that I have someone in my company, but to know that you have been that to someone too, it's a good feeling as well. You know, I can think of my best friend. You know, I remember that. She was a person who, like, when she carries a baby, she miscarries. She must have had about, at this point, she probably had about 6 miscarriages. And I remember one of the miscarriages, she was down in Atlantic City for whatever reason, I don't remember, and she was there, and I'm up here, North Jersey, and she was in the hospital all by herself. And, you know, she just needed somebody to be there with her. And, you know, she called me, and I had young children at the time, and I was just like, you know, oh, my gosh, what do I do? But I just, you know, just to think of somebody being in that state, so especially somebody I'm close to, you know, I just packed up and went and got her and went down to Atlantic City to be with her. So that it makes you feel good to know that you can do that for someone, that you're not so puffed up or you're not so busy or, you know, you're not so whatever that you can't come out of your comfort zone to extend that to someone else.
Wow, excellent. So we're coming up on the hour. We're coming up on the hour. We only got halfway through the relationships, and we got halfway through the friendships. So we're definitely going to have to do a part two for next week.
It's a good conversation, though, because it makes you reflect. It really makes you reflect on things that you don't think about all the time. So this is definitely pertinent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
I agree.
Any closing remarks, Malaw?
No, I think this was a great exchange. And I think that, like Mr. Marsha has beautifully put it, is pertinent to the times that we're living in. And I definitely look forward to the continuation of this exchange as we dive deep into these things. You can't dive deep on 1 hour, Aki. Come on.
Absolutely.
You know, we got to do some deep analysis now. You know, we go and make a check and stop, man. Sharing the story. So, tune in. So we want to tell the listening audience, come back and tune in next week for the continuation.
Right.
A friendship and the different types of relationships.
Right.
Absolutely. And in light of that, also, as we said in the beginning, we'll give you our new project called patreon.com/NFX Daily. That's patreon.com /NFXDaily. And that is our news platform that we're going to launch, our daily digital platform, where we're going to get content every day. And we ask you to join our subscription and membership platform. We have several membership grades that you can enroll in. And we want to give it out now so you can get the special offer that we're offering up until the end of the month. So when you hear this, make sure you get online at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/NFX Daily. That stands for New Freedom X, New Freedom Exchange Daily Digital. So it's NFX Daily, /NFX Daily. Also, check us out on YouTube at New Freedom Exchange, Facebook, New Freedom Exchange, as well as Instagram. And we thank you all again for joining in with us with my co-host, Brother Dean. Oh, that's me. Executive Director, Executive Producer, Brother Bilal, and our Program Director, Sister Marsha. Until next time, peace.
Assalamu alaikum.
Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
They tryna turn Trenton into baby Flint. Wow. Been times by depression on the billboards ever since. 100 years ago we was lynched. Now they use germ warfare to kill us. I'm convinced, got the evidence. I look around and it's evident. They go down to city hall and see so much negligence. Real art is intelligent. A true artist sends messages that speak to your intelligence. They fall and die so I can do my thing. Not to get drunk and high or join no gang. I will not let none of you die in vain. For my people I bang, bang, bang. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. I rep for you in everything I do. I rep for you in every place I go. I rep for you in everything I do. In every place I go. They say post-traumatic slavery disorder's fake, but I just tell them all to wake up. Everything we went through, what a way down a rape, bruh. It's in our genetic makeup. So I am my ancestors. From block to block, let's build like it's Tetris. We must unite, link up like a necklace. They fought and died and we disrespected. So I come to correct it. The legacy they left, I protected. We only think about self and neglected. You're African, but yet you rejected. No, my ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. I rep for you in everything I do. I rep for you in every place I go. I rep for you in everything I do. In every place I go.